They took turns sleeping, Ryan electing to take first watch as leader, allowing the others to rest. He kept one flashlight going, using the one that was beginning to fail, until the flickering beam cast light no farther than a couple of yards past where they rested. He switched to the flashlight JB had given him, using it to sweep the area to the rear of the cave, and to light the area at the mouth. All the same, he was careful to dip the beam so that it hit the rock immediately in front of the opening, and didn't shine out into the wastes beyond. It was unlikely there was anything out there to notice a sudden sweep of light should it appear, but he sure wasn't about to take that chance. One aspect of this storm was that it seemed to have swept through them and burned out the melancholy and apathy that had seemed to overwhelm them. Say what you like about the adrenaline rush of danger and how much you'd like to avoid it, but it put things into perspective. Survival pissed all over introspection every time. It was just a shame that it had taken this storm and nearly buying the farm to wake them up. Wake them up. Wake him up. Ryan was suddenly aware that his reverie had been the beginning of a descent into sleep. Jerking his head up, blinking heavily, he realized that he hadn't been as aware as he would have liked. Outside, the sound of the howling wind had dropped, and the snow shone white in the darkness of the night, the storm slowly subsiding, and the blanket of white becoming a dappled curtain. Deceptively soothing to the eye, especially when you were trying to stay awake. Ryan swept the area with the flashlight, the beam extending into the dark. There was something that made him stop and flash back over the area he had already covered. There was nothing. Something? Nothing. Was it his imagination? Some hallucination brought on by his need to sleep?
Ryan, what's going on?
Jack raised his head, disturbed by the beam that had wavered and hit him as it passed over the ground. He was alert, having snapped into consciousness immediately. He frowned as he saw the torpor on Ryan's face.
Not sure. Thought I saw something. It was back there, but...
Jack scrambled to his feet. He could see that Ryan was almost losing consciousness as he tried to speak. The one-eyed man had pushed himself to the limit, and beyond. And it was now catching up with him. Jack took the flashlight as Ryan let it droop. Now that Jack was awake, every fiber of Ryan's being was telling him he could rest, even though he was trying to will himself to stay conscious.
Ryan, sleep now. Let me take over.
Yeah?
Ryan let his eye close, and the warmth of sleep began to envelop him. Jack let him settle before hunkering down to take over watch. Jack frowned as he scanned the darkness beyond the scope of the flashlight beam. There was nothing visible, but it wasn't like Ryan to see things that weren't there, fatigue or no fatigue. Yet, Jack couldn't catch sight of anything. But that didn't mean it wasn't there. He cast a glance toward the cave entrance. The storm was subsiding, and perhaps by the time they had all rested and the daylight had come, they would be able to move. So why couldn't he shake the feeling that, despite the evidence to the contrary, Ryan had been right when he saw something in the dark maw of the tunnel? Jack rose to his feet, moving a few yards into the depths of the cave, throwing the flashlight beam farther into the blackness that swallowed it up hungrily. He wouldn't go farther, leaving the sleeping companions unguarded, but he was torn. Something was nagging at him. Something undefinable, but it still irritated like an unscratched itch. He shook his head, backed up to where the companions lay, and settled down to keep watch. Eyeing the lightning sky outside, he judged it only a few hours until daybreak. They should be safe. Should be. Jack was still and silent. Nothing escaped him, particularly the gradual change in temperature. From deep in the caves, the air began to heat up, the strength of the current increasing exponentially. He looked toward the mouth of the cave. The storm had almost subsided. The darkness had almost broken into dawn. Yet it was still night, there was still a squall, and the companions needed rest. Would fate allow them enough time to recover before the volcano a few miles away belched enough hot air, maybe even lava, to engulf them and make staying here an impossibility? It was a chance that they couldn't afford to take. Jack rose swiftly, moving to wake JB first, as the armorer had rested longer than Ryan. It was as Jack crouched over JB's supine form that he froze. There was something else on the air. The heat made the musk all the stronger, and it was distant, but growing closer with every breath. Dogs. Perhaps those that had strayed from settlements, been driven away from trappers when they had been decimated by nature, or the Russians some time back. They'd be wild now, and presumably ended up in the cave seeking shelter from the storm, as had the companions, wandering farther down into the tunnels and caves seeking the heat. Now they were being driven back by that very heat, as it intensified. Jack shook JB roughly. The armorer jolted awake.
What?
Jack silenced him with a hand across the mouth.
Trouble. Wild dogs. Mia. Wake others.
Before JB had a chance to fully take in what the albino was saying, he had moved on to Christy, shaking her in a similar fashion. There were times when Jack's use of words verged on the elliptical, but at least at this moment his meaning was clear. As was JB's head, now that he had shaken it to clear the fog of sleep before he scrambled to his feet, reaching out to wake Mildred. He whispered a few words to her as she emerged from her slumber. It was as well that she slept lightly, needing as she did to think on her feet. She had Doc to worry about. The old man was sleeping now, but in his current state there was little difference between Doc asleep and Doc awake. He was in no fit state to defend himself if trouble appeared. She moved over and shook him by the shoulder. His eyes snapped open instantly, and he looked directly at her.
I had hoped that you would have vanished and my terrible dreams would be at an end. But I can see that I am to be further tried by whatever agency deigns to.
Doc cut himself off, aware of the baying and skitter of claws on rock that began to reach the companions from deep in the tunnel. It was hard to tell if the animals were a few yards or a few hundred yards away. The only thing for sure was that the stench of their musk began to grow stronger, permeating their nostrils, lodging in their clothes. They had to be prepared to fight within seconds. Somewhere within Doc's mind, an instinct for survival took over.
Come on, Ryan.
Jack shook Ryan hard, pounded at him, but the one-eyed man woke slowly. He was exhausted. His aching limbs and muscles demanded respite, and the warm embrace of sleep refused to unclasp from around his mind. He opened his eye and saw Jack, lit from beneath by the flashlight he was holding, so that his pale face looked all the more ghostly. But he could not take in what the albino was saying.
Come on, Ryan.
What?
Ryan's attention was wandering. His eye roamed around the dark cavern.
What's that smell? Oh, shit.
Adrenaline flooded through him, and he scrambled to his feet, pushing Jack aside, reaching for the panga sheathed on his thigh. He had only one thing on his mind now. The shifting black was resolving itself into the shapes, sounds, and smells of an attacking pack of wild dogs. Not fully functioning yet, Ryan had moved too quickly. As he came to his feet, fumbling for the panga sheath, he knocked Jack backward. The albino slipped on the moss, making him shift his grip on the flashlight as he adjusted his balance. His thumb glanced over the switch, and the flashlight was extinguished. The cavern was plunged into darkness. The dogs were on them now. These weren't creatures on the hunt. Deep within the tunnels and caves, where they had retreated for warmth and shelter, something was happening that had served to terrify them and drive them out into the cold. And now they were faced with a pack of hostile humans who blocked their way. The slavering dogs, dripping at the jaws from panic and the exertion of flight, could smell the companions as they clustered in the center of the cavern, attempting to find their bearings by touch and smell alone, the sudden descent of the black curtain of darkness leaving them no time to adjust to any kind of warm light. These humans were in the way of the wild pack. They reeked of fear and confusion, and the dogs flew at the companions. Ryan unsheathed his panga, and JB's hand had snaked toward his techno knife. Jack was quick to palm a leaf blade knife into each hand so that he could attack on two fronts. But Mildred, Christy, and Doc had no weapons. Their only chance was to make defensive moves to try to prevent the animals from taking chunks from their flesh. The pack tore into the middle of the companions, scattering them across the floor of the cave, forcing them back against the walls.
Giant, damn it!
JB, Ryan, and Jack tore and slashed at the wild animals. The warm, sickly, sweet smell of blood mixed with the musk of dog glands, tempering the pack as some of their number slumped to the moss-covered floor. Underfoot, blood and urine, the ammonia stench mixing nauseatingly with the sweetness of the blood, swamped the moss and rock, making it treacherous. To move was to risk slipping, falling beneath the wild animals.
Fire blast!
Ryan and JB were hitting with roughly every third strike, feeling skin rip and flesh score beneath their blades, smelling the blood flow. Jack was more efficient, almost every strike hitting home. Or was it making the creatures wilder and angrier, or was it keeping them at bay? One of the creatures had got through the old man's guard and taken a chunk from him. There was nothing Ryan could do. He just had to hope for the best. hope that the spreading pools of blood and urine, the stench of this mixed with fear and confusion in the wounded animals, would persuade the pack to retreat.
Mildred, you feel that?
I think it might be the volcano.
Oh, damn!
Dog's gonna get us all killed.
Volcanic activity, perhaps the precursor to the main stack blowing. The heat and noise spread panic among the pack, distracting them from their task. The dog suddenly retreated from the fray, heading for the mouth of the cave and the relative safety of the outside world. It was so hard for the companions to keep upright and overcome heat so strong that none realized for a moment that their attackers had fled.
They gone.
Jack groped among the shapes on the floor for the flashlight, finding it slick with blood. It took three attempts to hit the switch, so slippery was the surface. He had to clean the bulb of spattered blood, which gave the light a reddish tinge. The floor was awash with a lake of blood and urine. Five dogs lay within it, staring lifelessly, their throats, stomachs, and forequarters covered in deep cuts. They were still seeping their precious fluids into the lake. Some looked like huskies, others had a more mixed lineage. The mouth of the cave, as Jack cast the beam farther afield, showed trails of blood that staggered out into the snow beyond. Throwing the beam around the cavern walls, he could see that Ryan and JB were breathing heavily, spattered in blood that wasn't their own. Both men did, however, have some contusions. Their blades drooped limply in their hands, slick liquid dripping from the tip of each. Seeing their superficial wounds, Jack was aware of a slight stinging on his own face and arms where he had been caught. Best to get these dressed soon, before they became infected. Christy and Mildred seemed to have fared better. They had escaped anything but the most minor grazes, although the clothing they had wrapped around their forearms to block the dog attacks had been ripped to shreds. But Doc was slumped against the wall of the cavern, sunk to his haunches. His hair hung around a face whose ashen pallor it matched. It was though the blood seeping from the wounds on his right arm and ribs had drained straight from his shocked, expressionless features. No sooner had Jack's flashlight highlighted his plight than Mildred was beside him, reaching into a pocket to find something among her medical supplies that would staunch the bleeding.
Jesus, Doc. Are you okay?
Fire blasted, fuck it. That was one thing we didn't need.
You mean the volcano, the dogs, or Doc getting bitten?
All of them. Can't hang around here waiting for the bastard to blow and fry us. We're gonna have to move out.
Not before I've treated Doc.
Mildred pulled Doc's frock coat and shirt away from the bite wounds. She examined them, squinting in the half-light.
Jack, bring that damn flashlight over here where I can see something.
As Jack complied, it became obvious that the wounds seemed worse than they really were. Although Doc was bleeding freely, the flesh hadn't been scored that deeply, and some bandaging would staunch the flow. She set about the task while the others cleaned themselves off as best as they could and prepared to leave.
Anyone else?
The physician slipped a needle from a vacuum pack and injected the old man with antibiotics. The pre-packed and loaded hypos had been in the redoubt's med bay for more than a century. But there was no reason to believe that they had been tampered with or contaminated in any way. Biggest risk was that the serum within had lost its potency, the chemical makeup breaking down. If that was so, she would have to watch Doc for the first signs of a fever and hit him with another. Quickly and efficiently, she dressed the minor abrasions and contusions that the others had suffered, all the while casting a glance back to Doc, who sat slumped on the floor, seemingly unaware of anything that was going on around him. Ryan could see that the dawn was breaking beyond the mouth of the cave. Christy followed his gaze.
Let's hope the pack hasn't decided to stick around to see if they can pick us off when we come out.
It's not likely. They were more scared of the heat than pissed at us. From the look of those damn dogs have been feeding well of late. They'll be well away from here. Our problem's gonna be the cold and finding a bill, because I'm wondering what those dogs have been feeding on lately.
Christy followed his eye down to the dog carrion. The creatures were well muscled, and their fur, though matted by blood now, showed signs of having been in good condition. So where in this wasteland had they found a rich source of food? The temperature within the cave was rising, and deep rumblings from far off suggested that a second expulsion of heat and pressure wasn't far away. It would be best if the companions moved sooner rather than later.
Mildred, is Doc ready to go?
As he'll ever be. Come on, let's go, old man.
She helped Doc to his feet. He looked around him, eyes staring, but unseeing. He seemed confused, but at least he was able to move under his own propulsion. That would make things easier.
Doc, I hope you can take in some of this, you old buzzard. We've got to leave now. Stick close, just keep walking, and tell me if you think you're running a temperature. You got that? Do you think he understood any of that? I don't know. Even if only part of it made sense, that's better than nothing. We're just gonna have to keep a real close eye on the old bastard.
Gathering themselves together, they headed out into the early morning light, the cold hitting them like a hammer as they stepped beyond the bounds of the cave, slipping and sliding their way down to the snowbank to the rock beneath. The trail of blood left by the dog pack became less visible on the moss and lichen, petering away to nothing. There was no sign of the animals. They had either gone to ground somewhere else, or made their way off around the rock ledge and were headed in a direction obscured by the outcrops. Whatever the answer, it left the companions free of at least one worry. JB looked up at the sun. The sky was almost clear of cloud right now, only a few wisps of yellow-tinged cumulus disturbing the purple-tinged blue. The cold was crisp, so much so that it almost froze the breath from their mouths. The winds had dropped in the post-storm lull, so that there was no ice or snow swirling around them.
Perfect.
Taking the mini-sextant from one of his pockets, he took readings that enabled him to pinpoint where they were currently and where the settlement of Ankh Ridge lay in relation to their position. He worked quickly, aware that the sooner they got moving, the quicker they would reach their destination, and the sooner they would start to generate some warmth through activity.
It's got to be that way. Due east. Hell of a trek by the look of it. Land's so flat, I figure we can see a good 10 miles with the naked eye. No sign of anything there, so it's got to be beyond.
If that's the way it's got to be, then that's the way it's got to be. Sooner we get going, the sooner we find some kind of life, right?
If there was a better way...
Falling into formation, they began to march, not wanting to waste energy on further words. Their options were limited, and the only thing to do was to march and hope. A steady pace to keep warm and make progress. Not fast enough to exhaust them, but not too slow to arrest that very progress. As they marched, Ryan at point, JB at the rear, with Jack following Ryan, Mildred and Chrissy flanking Doc, each had time for his or her own thoughts once more. But unlike their march from the redoubt, there was determination and purpose here. The morbid introspection and melancholy that had run through them like a virus in the redoubt had been banished by the need to focus. Whatever psychological infection had swept through them had been wiped out by the urge to survive. Across the lichen-covered rock and patches of ice, they made good time, keeping a steady pace. There was nothing to distract them. Nothing outside. The only distraction that could possibly cause delay would be internal, and none would fall prey to that. Except, perhaps, Doc.